All right, 24 minutes now before 8 o'clock. There's one thing, very few things that all of the experts that we've had on the show agree with.
Uh-huh.
If they're an expert on something, there's always an expert on that same thing that disagrees with them. But there is one thing I've noticed that experts always agree on, and I hate to say sounds so vague, I just can't remember any names, but we've had quite a few on here, experts in child education.
Yes.
Right? Whether you're for public schools, private schools, homeschooling, everybody agrees. Reading is a key element.
Mm-hmm.
We have a book here for young readers. It's not for little children, but young readers who want to pick up a novel and be entertained,
mm-hmm.
and get the enjoyment of reading as well as improve their reading skills. And the book is called Power World Zero. Power World Zero. It's written by Matthew Peterson, and the notes here say, wanted, one nerdy boy from Earth to save our planet. Magic user preferable. This sounds very Harry Potter-ish, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Matthew Peterson, good morning. Thank you for being on the air with us.
Good morning.
Where are you located? Where are you right now?
I'm in Arizona.
So tell me about this. Is this your first book?
It is my first book.
Well,
I started writing it when I was young, about 14 years old, but finished it when I was in my late 20s.
Oh, really? So this kind of really stems from what a young boy, a young man would really, really appreciate.
Yes, definitely.
So you were using the imagination of a 14-year-old to get the whole thing rolling. Well, that's pretty exciting that you finished it. Where was the stack of papers you started writing? Was it loose leaf paper? And did you find it in a box one day and say, "Wow, I should finish this"? What happened?
Exactly. Well,
really?
Actually, back in 1990, I started writing it. My computer died, and so I quit six chapters. Put it in a box. You know, years later, I actually read Harry, someone said, "You should really read this Harry Potter book I did." I'm like, "Oh, holy cow, I think I'm going to pick up my book again."
Oh, really? And
awesome.
did it seem like Harry Potter was almost the same story you had been writing?
It was. A boy who learns that he has magic and goes to a school.
Oh, wow. It must have broke your heart because you kind of had it first.
Yeah, I really had to change it around, too.
Did you really?
Yeah, so that
doesn't
sound like Harry Potter. It's very different, though, because there are a lot of science fiction elements in it as well.
And do you think some of the instances that are depicted in your book could actually happen in real life?
Some of the events in the book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. There are scenes with bullies.
Yeah, that really happens.
Bullies
exist. Dragons may not, but bullies do.
Yeah.
Are the things, what do you want to say when something represents something else? Symbolic? Are the dragons like symbolic of government? Are you that kind of a writer?
Oh, no. There are a lot of things that are symbolic. The dragons don't, I wouldn't say the dragons represent anything, but there are definitely lots of symbolism in the story and foreshadowing as well. Something will happen, and later on in the book, you'll see it back again in a different form.
How did you keep the story from becoming depressing when there were different things going on that the main character had to overcome?
Well, Simon Kent, the main character, he really goes through the ringer. I will say that. The thing, I am a very upbeat person, and so I like to wrap things up in a positive note with a little bit of mystery. So the thing that I've tried to do is look at the end. I know it's going to turn out okay. So even though he's going through so many trials and ordeals, I know in the end he's going to be okay. You know, he's going to, you know, win the race, I guess.
And who's the blonde with the ears?
That's the title of his next book.
Yeah, that is.
Because I was thinking, when Johnny comes home with this book, Dad's going to say, "Oh, you got a new book? That's nice. Hey, who's the blonde with the ears?"
That is a lady named Tabby, or Tabitha, and she is part cat, of course.
Uh-huh.
And she's definitely a magic user with lots of fighting ability.
I bet.
Was it hard?
She has to have a lot of fighting ability. She looks like that. Robin, you know who I'm talking about? Did you see the cover?
Yeah, I did. Was it difficult for you to pick up and rework the book when you left off all those years ago?
Oh, yes, it was, because I originally wrote it as a much more humorous, comedy. It was in first person, and a lot of his witty remarks, the narrator's witty remarks. And I changed it to third person so that I could get it a little bit more into each individual's head, because there's two storylines in the book, one storyline with the younger children, with the teenagers, and then another storyline with the older characters.
The book again is called Power World Zero. Am I saying it right?
Yes, Power World Zero, and the series will be called Parallel World.
Parallel Worlds, and this is actually book one, so this is the beginning of a big thing for you. I'm guessing. I bet you this is going to be a big thing for you.
It is. It's all time consuming.
And it's published by Blue Works. Am I understanding that right?
Yes, which is an imprint of Windstorm Creative.
Oh, okay.
Have you had any resistance to the book itself, because some people don't like that kind of depictions? Like, some people are against these celebration of Halloween, what the Wiccans
12-year-old boys
celebrate.
Don't care about that.
I haven't had any resistance yet. I've had a lot of good praise. My book is definitely, pro-God. There isn't any... they're not doing some special secret rituals and stuff like that in the book. It's a lot of just fun magic, fun themes. There are some scary themes as well.
the book is available. It's it's only $16.99, so it's a really great book. It's listed as science fiction, fantasy, and young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we find the book? And then we'll continue asking questions about it. Where would we get it?
You can, right now, since it's just brand new, you can special order it from your local bookstore, Barnes mm-hmm. & Noble, Borders. But you can also go online to my website, which is pworlds.net.
P-Worlds?
P-Worlds.
Okay.
P as in parallel.
Uh-huh.
So pworlds.net. And I have some links there to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, other places. And that will also give you the latest update. In fact, just this week, I finished the video trailer with those characters on the front of the cover.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, then I will be tuning in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just posted it, like, yesterday.
Oh, gosh, that's awesome.
And who are the actress and the actor, the young man? Are they actual people that you know?
They are actual people that I know.
That's not your wife, is it?
No. the young boy, he lives in Washington now, and uh-huh. and the lady, she lives in my neighborhood, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He keeps her real
excited.
Close.
So what'd you do? You walk over to her and say, hey, I've seen you cutting the grass. I was wondering, would you put some ears on, maybe? I just want to see if you would be perfect for the part.
Yeah, she was very excited.
When you were younger, growing up in elementary school, were you fascinated with the whole concept of magic? Did you have magic tricks? Did you put on magic shows for adults and things?
I did. As a smaller kid, too, especially. I was just fascinated with the little magical tricks. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
The magic in this book is, a lot of it is humorous, too. Because in certain circumstances, they're out of control, and so you never know what's going to happen with the magic.
The magic experience I had, I was standing on the wings of a stage watching a magician, and I saw how all the tricks were done. You're supposed to watch magic from the front. When you went to the side, you can see the lady crawling out from it. Hey, what's so good about that? I wonder often if you stood on the wings of a David Copperfield show, would you see what he's doing? I mean, that guy can fly.
I bet not.
That guy can fly. He can float around.
They probably say, okay, pause the camera real quick. Okay, now turn the camera back on.
When you were getting ideas from your book, did you ever see actual scenes going on that you just sort of drew from?
Oh. When I write, it's a very...
Visual?
Yeah, I'm seeing a movie, and all I'm doing is writing what I see.
Mm-hmm.
A movie in my mind, and I'm just writing it down
as fast
as I can.
And is it more than a movie, though? Like, when you get up from the Word or from the computer, I was going to say word processor, we don't say that anymore.
No.
We used to say pencil, remember?
Yeah.
When you put down the pencil. Now, when you get up from your computer, are you still there? I mean, do you go into the kitchen and you still feel like you're, in that last world you just came out of?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm thinking about it. I used to drive to work, an hour to work there and back. And I used to listen to the radio and do things, and then I actually started to just think about this world, and it really helped me to really get into the mood to write about it.
A lot of creative people will say that's where their most best ideas come from, is while they're driving somewhere, right?
One thing that I feel your book will do, Matthew, is that when the young readers read it, they're going to get the self-confidence to start writing themselves and using their imagination and not really care if people like it or not. It'll just be a part of them to go through their own creative process.
Yeah, I've had a couple kids tell me that exact same thing. Oh, I want to write a book now. And they're just so excited to see, you know, especially because they know me. You know, a couple of these kids, they know me, and they're like, oh, wow, I know someone who's writing. I think I can do it myself. And that's a really great thing to hear, because that's one of the reasons I wrote the book in the first place. I got some motivation from one of the people who gave a blurb on the back of the book. I love Douglas Hill's books. And I was fortunate enough to get a blurb from him before he passed away last year. So that was really, you know, the icing on the cake, to get a blurb from him, because he was one of the motivations.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at that quote right now. He really did say some nice things. Under that, Diana Farrow Francis says this, Robin: the exciting action of Star Wars with the humor of Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I love Napoleon Dynamite.
That's all you need, and this book is going to sell a million. Just that one line right there is going to help you. Mm-hmm. Matthew Peterson, what a great book you've written, and what a great guest you've been. Thank you for being on the air with us today. And now, you gave us pworlds.net, correct? That's a website. On the back of the book, it says powerworlds.com. Is that one still good, or is that...
Yeah, they're both good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, real quickly, are you having another inspiration for your second book in the series as we speak?
Oh, yes. I have the inspiration for the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ending in mind of the entire series. And excited for it.
Oh, wow. This is we're speaking to a George Lucas.
Yeah, okay.
We're speaking with George Lucas before anybody knew his name.
Yeah, this is so great.
Matthew Peterson is going to be the name they're slinging around, you know, when we're grandparents.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to see you at the Academy Awards.
This book is for children ages 9 and up, it says here. It's got 251 pages. It sells for $16.99. And sounds like a really good deal. All right. Well, thank you so much, Matthew. What a great idea you've come up with. And look forward to saying, you know, I spoke to him for the first book.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Matthew.